the constituency of Souffre, Fontaine-Jacques, Madam Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Prime Minister. Madam Speaker, I went to bed at my home in Fontaine-Jacques, in Souffre town, Madam Speaker, last night, and I woke up in Souffre this morning. So that if anything had happened during the night, Madam Speaker, I would have been there to provide leadership and encouragement for the people. I am not in offshore representation. I'm in the house with the people.
Madam Speaker, allow me to move on.
But I want to tell him, either he got his voluntary and leave, or his own party will throw him out, or the people will throw him out. Take one. So he has to come and sing and praise the government today. That's all it is, singing and praising the government today. Madam Speaker, Madam Speaker, I wonder where I came from. Because what I feel, and what the people in this country feel, what we hear, and what we see, what we read in the newspapers, what we feel in the shops, what we feel by the market, what we feel by the gas pump, what we feel in the supermarket, it doesn't feel like painting a glorious picture of the situation, and it tells me these are the fundamentals of this government. Let me tell you the fundamentals of your government. Corruption, fundamental number one. Leadership less, leaderless direction. These are the fundamentals. Wastage, fundamentals. Lack of compassion for people. These are the greed. These are the fundamentals of your government. So don't come here today and pretend as if you don't know what's going on. Everywhere you go in the country, people quarreling. You go in small shops in the country, you look at the shelves, there's nothing there. Nobody's buying, nothing around, that's what the young people say. Nothing going on, and you painted a glorious picture, and you come in here today and you say, telling the people of Benin that the people are hard to govern. That's what you tell the people of Benin. They are hard to govern. That's why they're going to show you out. Madam Speaker, he spoke about small contracts, and boasting the government for small contracts. What is not saying, who gets the small contract? Flabos alone, Flabos Industries alone, contract after contract, same person, same person. There's a guy in Souffre, the man has received so many contracts, he told me. By June, he'll become a millionaire. The same set of people getting the contract.
Honorable member, I wish he would debate the bill. I'm responding.
He said contract in his presentation.
Okay, but the standing orders request that your discussion is relevant and appropriate to the bill. Okay,
Madam Speaker, he made a point.
If you would like to say that he has misled the House or he is attempting to. I would prefer that if that is your contribution, then say that is what you.
Madam Speaker, with due respect, I humbly retract. But the point is, Madam Speaker, if you bring an issue into the debate, I thought that I would have had the privilege to rebut, because that is what the debate is all about, to what he said. He spoke about small contracts in the country. I'm refuting that assertion. So, Madam Speaker, if you don't want me to go that way. Madam Speaker, he went and he spoke also about constituency development program. He spoke about it too. And I would like to comment about it, Madam Speaker, in response to what he said. Because I have a problem with this program. He said the Prime Minister increased the amount to $10 million. And I'm very happy, Madam Speaker. Very happy. It's in the budget. $10 million. The problem is, this $10 million will not be equitably distributed among parliamentarians. Madam Speaker, it has happened before. This is what happens, Madam Speaker. In constituencies where there are not members of the government representing them, you have local government authorities receiving those monies and spending those monies. Madam Speaker, in Soufre, during Hurricane Thomas, the Prime Minister made available to the district representative $100,000. He made available to the local government council $400,000. That's the point.
Madam Speaker,
that's the point.
On a point of correction.
Madam Speaker, I refuse to yield because I make the statement of fact.
Under the Prime Minister, I cannot yield to you.
So sit down.
Member, you will do it with some respect.
Very good, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the Honourable Member, I want to appeal to the Prime Minister that those of us in opposition, the Honourable Member for Kashi feels it. He feels it. When the monies are being distributed and allocated at a constituency level, you have to respect the views and the choice of the people. Local government councils were not elected, they are selected. So if monies have to be disbursed from the consolidated fund, allow it to go through the right channel. Madam Speaker, you have chairpersons of constituency groups awarding contracts. I never heard that. You look at him put you there. Fertilizer assistance, which he spoke about, Madam Speaker, and it is in the budget. Madam Speaker, Jean-François Jacques has a pièce qualité fair, Sagvano. They did not even know that the government had fertilizer to give. I don't know what it's going. I heard that the Minister of Foreign Affairs went to Portugal. He came back with some money. The money went to Schwazel and some fertilizer. I heard it went to Barbono. And a friend of mine told me they are now in some shop. I don't know what they're doing there. I don't know that it's true. If it is not true, in the rebuttal, you will tell me it's not true. Madam Speaker, he is boasting that there is an economic growth of 4.4% in the budget. 4.4%. You understand that? Did you go in and did you do research? You know what caused the 4.4%? Just a recalculation. You just changed the base here. Let me give an example, Madam Speaker. Let us imagine your GDP, and there are some young people there. Your GDP is your gross domestic product. The total goods and services you produce within the economy. That's what it is. If you produce 100 items this year, and you calculate it at the price that existed in 1993, you will get one amount. If you take that same output of 100 units, and you calculate it at the price of 2006, which invariably will be higher, you are going to get a bigger figure. So this 4.4% is as a result of a mathematical recalculation. Read it by the ETCU. So to come and boast and gloat about it is just an exercise in futility. Because what we want, Madam Speaker, economic growth is an expansion of economic activity. What we want in this country is development. You cannot have growth if you have development. What is the development? You must have employment. Standard of living must improve. Access to healthcare must improve. Road infrastructure must improve. You cannot just say there is growth and you cannot show it. So in real terms, where is the growth? How many young people are being employed? That is what the growth is. That is what the real growth is. Madam Speaker, I now move to my presentation having refuted some of the calypsos that the Honourable Member for Denny was singing a while ago. Madam Speaker, Soufre Fontejac, it is 6 months now, this month, since we were struck by Hurricane Thomas. up to this point in time, we are plagued by many, many, many problems. There's a high level of fear, high level of anxiety among residents in the most affected areas. And here I speak of people from Zeno, people who have to go to Margueto, people in Fontejac, people in Fokako. These people, Madam Speaker, cannot sleep at night. And in a while, Madam Speaker, I'll tell you why. Madam Speaker, in just 2 months' time, we are going to be back into hurricane season. And the expectation, the experts have said that the season is going to be very active. And we are expecting at least 6 major hurricanes. Considering the conditions left behind by this government in the aftermath of the hurricane, I am beginning to worry. I am beginning to worry about what is going to happen to the people of Sucre if the situation on the ground does not improve significantly. Madam Speaker, all the skies are still etched on the mountain. They are still there for us to see. Madam Speaker, I cannot stop extending my sympathy and empathy to the people of Sucre and Pontejac who suffered loss by Thomas. I will always remember all those who paid the ultimate price, those who died, and those who have not been recovered, Madam Speaker. Remember Lester Jabatis, lived in Fontejac, his body found in Fokako. She was with Joseph, traveled with me the same afternoon to go to her home in the midst of the hurricane. Body found buried in the field. Gabriel Joseph, Sigrid from Wagon Clare, and the Sabi family, mother, wife, father, children, all perished, Madam Speaker. And that is why I want to commend a committee that was formed in Choiseul, especially putting a program together to pay tribute to Brother Sabi. To the families of those persons, I say to them, you are in my prayers. And I say, Madam Speaker, you know what? Nobody has turned back to those families and ever approached them and asked them what are their needs. A young child was left behind. The child was in the house that blocked that well. 2 other persons died. She jumped the window, and right now the child is living by somebody. Nobody has approached the child to tell the child, look, I am going to put you somewhere to live. And this is what he's talking about, good government. Madam Speaker, I sat in a listening to the Prime Minister in his budget. Madam Speaker, after listening, I remember long ago when people die, they used to have a lavie in the evening. And by the lavie, the people do what you call quick work. You tell stories, fairy tales, and so on. So today, this budget is a quick work budget. You know why, Madam Speaker? Because they have killed the country. And they have come, so today they come to the lavie of the country. And the Prime Minister gave us quick work next to the bedside of the country. That is what has happened, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, nothing in the budget is realistic. Nothing there is achievable. Nothing there is attainable. And I'm scared. Madam Speaker, the records of this government will show that they have ditched the economy in the doldrums. They have put the economy in a quagmire, in an abyss, in poverty where depression can never revive from it. Don't worry with the 4.4%. Because my member on the, my other comrade on the other side, honorable member on the other side, will stick to the 4.4% and make you understand, because you all do not seem to understand it. Madam Speaker, they have killed the living soul of the country. Country is bleeding. Poor people are bleeding. Even permanent secretaries are bleeding, agitating because they refuse to pay them for fear there will be retribution against them because they say they're giving PS big money. Everybody, Madam Speaker, I'm not telling it. All of us are telling it, Madam Speaker. Everybody. Everybody. Has that any business with $15? Madam Speaker, the Prime Minister should have done that. Should have done the honorable thing and just called the election. That's what you should have done, Mr. Prime Minister. And then whoever wins the election would present a new budget. Because this budget, to my mind, doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. It does not address the mundane problems of today. And I cannot understand, and they will stand and they will boost. Madam Speaker, like a scarlet, throughout the budget, you are hiding behind the cloth of the drought and trauma and international recession. That's what they're hiding behind throughout the budget. That's what they're saying. It is because of Thomas things they go right. It is because of drought, farmers are doing well. It is because of international recession. That's all. But Madam Speaker, is that really true? Madam Speaker, let me run through the things that are really getting this economy into trouble. One, greed by politicians. Greed, you've watched. The get rich class mentality. Madam Speaker, I said before this honorable house that all of them are billionaires. You have some people with big condos, $2.2 million. You have one of them building a house somewhere in Forest Hills, and there's a swimming pool on top of a tree. No, Madam Speaker, that's true. Madam Speaker, it is not the drought and Thomas, as the Prime Minister said, caused the problem in the country. It is not the drought. Driving big expensive cars. Madam Speaker, the problem is this government has no pity, no compassion for poor people. That is what is putting us in this quagmire, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, it is not Thomas and drought and international recession that is causing us to be in that state. Madam Speaker, it is the wastage that PA took the line. You have a Minister of Tourism, you gave him $200 million in 4 years. And what has he done? What are the results? Small hotels are closing. Hotel, I can mention about some of them to you. Hotel workers are being sent home. Jalousy just threatened. The only member will tell you, don't be that. The only member will tell you. Hotels that were supposed to come and stream the investors went back. I'm coming to that. Madam Speaker, wastage. Madam Speaker, there is a new trend in the management. We are not talking about management. In the management of government funds. For the first time, I am hearing that people, the same contract you're talking about, those contractors are going to get paid in rum shops and in constituency offices. Minister carrying a biscuit. I have a guy arrived here today, Madam Speaker. He told me he's just going to join. It was about 10 o'clock in the evening. He said he's going to join. I said, now you're going to join. He said, yes. He did a little contract by the road if a guy, the minister has to come down to pay him so that he can collect his money in the night. Madam Speaker, and then and Britain knows who you are here. Madam Speaker, probably who's the captain? Somebody's wearing it. Madam Speaker, the wastage. How can this country, when things are so tight, all the countries you talk about in this section, honorable member for Geninov, all of them are doing belt tightening. All of them have big arguments about cut spending. All of them are talking about being prudent and managing the country. All of them are talking about austerity measures. All of them are saying that. But lavishly, you are wasting money. You rent an office for $114,000 a month. In this day and age, thereby tell my movie. You rent in another one for $117,000. And it's over 7 months you pay in the rent. And nobody has done inside of the office. You bought a building for almost $30 million and just standing there and buy whether paying well. I'll come to you on Hussein just now. I'm Minister Hussein. These are the realities, so I'm surprised and want to ask, where did the honorable member come from? Why? You're a man. You are not living the St. Lucian experience of the day. The St. Lucian experience of today is totally different from what you portrayed. People are voting by weather. Think Iran. That is the reality. Madam Speaker, I'm going to remember, you let me speak. Madam Speaker, it is not Thomas and the drought that caused it. The aforementioned, what I've just said, they contributed significantly to the sorry state of affairs of this country. Madam Speaker, if we have to move forward, we need to have confidence and trust in the government. We need to trust the Prime Minister when he says something. We need to have the faith and the confidence that when the Prime Minister says something in the budget, it will be implemented. Because, Madam Speaker, when you come to a budget presentation and you articulate programs and policies, there are lots of people who will get themselves engaged in economic activity and commit their resources and inject capital on the basis of what you propose, because they're going to take you seriously. You have to be taken serious, Madam Speaker. They expect the Prime Minister not to go and do quick quacks. Say one thing and nothing happens. Madam Speaker, I see the honourable member looking at me with some disgust in his eyes. Madam Speaker, let me give him the facts. Let's go, Madam Speaker. The Prime Minister, in the 2008-2009 budget, Minister of Finance, this is what he said. There is going to be redevelopment of Castries Business District. And it took Castries back, I think, Busana Castries. French and colonial cultural heritage, architecture and character of the island, the place will be friendly with green open space, Kotei. Madam Speaker, that's a quick quack. Quick quack, so story. Development of Castries Sport. Government in collaboration, I'm reading from page 15 of the 2008-2009 budget. Government in collaboration with the Royal Caribbean Cruise Limited will commence the development of the extension of the waterfront castle. Madam Speaker, I passed the RDBI, I have not seen that, you know. Madam Speaker, development of an expansion of Beaufort Port. I was in Beaufort last week, I remember where I was. Madam Speaker, development and expansion of the Beaufort Free Zone. Madam Speaker, the only thing I know that I've been in the free zone is that a particular member on the other side is using a warehouse there. He has endless items to receive for hurricane relief, and some of them still there, and he's taking them one by one and giving it to the black midnight. But there is no expansion of the free zone in Beaufort. It is said Dubai Port sold. Who took the project? Dubai Port. And we have a Minister of Tourism taking $33,000 of our taxpayers' money to travel to Dubai. $33,000 to buy chicken back for almost a whole community. To go to Dubai and do nothing. Whereby, Baragasi Lajan. Wastage. Development, sir, that one is interesting, Madam Speaker. Development of a new cruise port at Beaufort. Plans are at an advantage, not missing. The Prime Minister said it. A developer that is interested in financing the reclamation and the development works required has already been identified, and discussions are being held with a leading cruise ship operator who is interested in basing its operations in St. Lucia. That's what the Prime Minister said. So, if I am a businessman and I hear that, I have a little savings in the bank, I will quickly go and withdraw it and start an investment. Madam Speaker, I told you about the two cows some time ago. The Hess oil is another one, Madam Speaker. When I said I heard Hess oil coming to St. Lucia, the Prime Minister, then Minister of Finance, said $7 billion would be spent. Bugale, when they got flat. He sold the two cows and he bought a truck. Pour vrai, c'est ouvert, pour vrai, c'est ouvert. Avec mes affaires, les gens mettent trois paquets de grands tailles dans les vitres, en une cabaye d'huile. Tout le monde se parle. Le dépôt, c'est. Alors, il est tombé. Madame Soudan, je suis un membre de l'Angleterre. Madame Soudan, I am inclined to believe that these members are taking steroids. They're taking steroids to life. Madame Soudan, I wish I talk very quickly. Madame Soudan, the Honorable Prime Minister is so fluent in not telling the truth that I cannot trust him and the country cannot trust him in the next 4 or 5 years. How can I trust you when you give us so much gibberish and policies? Quick crack! Expansion of George FHL. Madam Speaker, this is a very serious issue. Madam Speaker, this government must explain to the Central Asian people how will George FHL's airport fit in the new scheme they have for the airport in Beaufort. Because, Madam Speaker, if you are going to create a hub, you need the ancillary services. You need the small planes coming to Iwanura to operate from the hub. You're spending $400 million and you're not telling the people what is going to happen to those of ourselves. And you're promising the budget. Let me put an airport master plan are at an advantage and the government of France through the Agency for Stable Development has kindly consented to become involved. In the next few days, an agreement will be signed. In the next few days, how can I trust what you say? How can we lead into the future? How can we tell people what our plans, so that people will have confidence? It is no wonder investors are no longer coming to St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, and the Prime Minister came with a litany of hotels, Swan Bay Resort in Neku, Kote, Quick Quack, Sumatra Resort, only remember for Denny, you have a resort in your constituency, Quick Quack, Safi Estate Residence and Marina Complex in Labri, honorable member, did you have already? Quick Quack. The Ritz-Carlton, where is it? Where is it? River Dorey, that you have a hotel, you should bring a condo into River Dorey. River Dorey, where is it? Mother took resort. And I want to speak about this one, Madam Speaker, because it is playing my constituency. Had there been a Labour Party government in office, the project at Mother took in Sufias would have started already. And young people would have been employed there already. Because what you did, the Minister of Tourism, who normally thinks, speaks, and then thinks, went into an agreement convincing the government to take $10 million from the developers and go and spend $6.5 million to build the home for the senior citizen. Of course I have. Serious problem with that. Because the deal the Labour Party had was we would take $8 million and the developer would build the facility. That was the deal. But you took $10 million, $2 million more, and you built it yourself at 6.5. Where is the logic in that? Madam Speaker, this is serious. Very, very serious. Because the young people in Sofia are not working. I pass by Genesis Bar sometimes in the week, and I tell us the busman, back on what is, looking around, busman, we want to work. Man, I want to work. And if that hotel, and you know what happened, Madam Speaker? You know what happened to the project right now? They gave it to two flambos and they signed an petition over the project. They crossed over the project. They signed in over the project. The matter is now in court. And what happened? The project stalled. And so the developer cannot stop. Madam Speaker, listen to something else again. Advanced planning work is already underway on a new large-scale development at Fodor. And that's from, I'm reading from the 2008-2009 budget, page 18. The fiscal year 2008-2009 will witness the commencement of construction of at least 7 major hotels. Madam Speaker, I'm an investor, and if I want to pump money, and I hear all this, Madam, what would I do? So how can I trust the future with the Minister of Finance? Madam Speaker, major infrastructure, a new dam, efforts are well underway to secure the finance. But Madam Speaker, but there is one I want to speak to WACO. I am calling on the Minister of Communication and Works to tell the country. You have not said so. You need to tell the country why WACO is not privatized today. Because you went around the country and you promised us in this head, Honorable House, it's in Hunter, that you would have called discussions, round table discussions, you called it, to discuss the privatization of WACO. You came to Sufret at the town hall. You had a meeting and told the people all of the reasons why WASCO had to be privatized. A local party government will privatize WASCO, Madam Speaker. No bones about it. That is the only way to go. WASCO's debt is almost over $150 million. You can't allow it to continue. Now the deal didn't go through. The deal did not go through. I supported it. I always support this initiative. Always supported it. And I still support it. That is the way to go, Madam Speaker, with WASCO. The same thing, look at Lucy Lek. Lucy Lek was as shoddy as WASCO is today, although the workers are doing their best to keep the company going. You need to ensure that we have a reliable water supply. And the way WASCO is going right now, it is not going to be that way. And one person alone in St. Lucia cannot jeopardize the future of the country with its water. And when the Minister of Communication and Works did that, tell the people what happened between A&M and you, why the building go through. Tell them that. And Madam Speaker, I can go on. We have a North East Link Road through Dauphin, and you're saying, the Link Road, this project is going to commence in the last quarter of the fiscal year. Kotia, quick crack. In the last quarter, Mr. Link Road, good idea. Very good idea. But don't make empty promises. Empty promises, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the list goes on. And the list goes on. Madam Speaker, how can I trust this government, Madam Speaker? The Prime Minister is not there. Okay. I'm going to speak to him through you, Madam Speaker. How can I trust him when he has no control over his cabinet? How can he implement this budget of $1.338 billion if you don't have the leadership to do it? You have to have charge and control of your cabinet. You must have that. If you don't have that, the money will go to waste. People will be very disappointed. And there is going to be recrimination among your own ministers if you cannot. Madam Speaker, I heard that the situation in the cabinet is not good at all. It's real bad, I was told. Real bad. And I even heard the Prime Minister getting called off. I don't know if that is true. That's why I'm going to ask him. Madam Speaker, how can you continue, you are the biggest embarrassment of this house. Madam Speaker, how can you allow ministers to callously disregard the Constitution, Section 27 of our Constitution? How can you allow that? Flout the laws. If you have cases going to court, you have the Noisy Mountain case. You have the matter of a minister in the government taking his own government to court. You have the Prime Minister writing a letter telling customs to settle the matter administratively when the law doesn't allow that. How can we move forward to this kind of conditions in the country? How can I trust this government for another 5 years? That's the question I have to ask. Madam Speaker, what we have on this side of the House is leadership that will not tolerate nonsense. He will not tolerate nonsense. If you misbehave, you pay the further consequences of your actions. That is leadership in government. That is what you do. In some countries, the leader is so stern that they call it dictatorship. But we have democratic leaders who are powerful and who have been tested and tried and have the reputation and the capacity to lead the cabinet of this country into implementing policies that are achievable, that are doable, and those that will benefit the young people of this country to put them back in employment. Madam Speaker, you need the whole budget. There is nothing about unemployment in this country. I say this country is okay. What we know is that unemployment, when the Labour Party came in office, it was at 22.something%. When the Labour Party left office, it was 13.6%. As soon as they came into office, they were brought back to 24%. Shame. All the money wasting the Dahe building. Young people call it jobs. And the minister is coming and boast. You boasting about you will do well. And I can wait for them for the rest of the afternoon. Boasting and gloating. How are we doing well? We're doing well. Go and tell the people in the boulevard that you're doing well. Go and tell the people by the market. People who are coming there with dashing and yam from Gozile and from Deriso and from Fortechat. Go and tell them they're doing well. And they have to go back home with it. Go and tell them that you're doing well. Go and tell them you're a good government. Go and tell them that. Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, something happened a few weeks ago, and I'm very mad about it, very upset. It has to do with an attack that was launched against the workers, the staff of this parliament. I can't go there, Madam Speaker. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Madam Speaker, how can I trust the Prime Minister when he has borrowed almost $1 billion. I have to say $1 billion. $1 billion. That's what I think about. $1 billion. You borrow. And there is nothing to show for it. I asked the Prime Minister some time ago, where is your signature project? Sir John has signature project. He can tell you build a dam. He did some to see. The Labour Party can show you signature projects. In Gozile, the cricket ground. Why your feet of St. George? We can show you. Show me. And the Labour Party never borrowed so much money. We never. And I hope the young people who are there, welcome to this. You are listening. Because we're talking on your behalf. If there is a government that is for you all, it is we on this side. We're talking about employment for you all. $1 billion, and all I see all over the country, Chicanal 5C, Chicanal Palace, Chicanal 2x2. That's what I see. Chicanal, badly done. So we have a Chicanal Prime Minister. That's his achievement. And the things are being built, Madam Speaker. Suddenly, there's no DRC in the foundation of the thing. I passed by San Susi, and I'm happy those guys at San Susi were working. And I saw the flat building sidewalk 20 feet long with no DRC. There is no supervisor from the Ministry of Communication Road to tell them whether the combination of cement and sand and water is what is supposed to be, what is prescribed. That's what I see. One, that's where the money is going to. And the money that the honorable member spoke about, the constituency program, development program, those monies, that's where they're going to, this one election. Just imagine, Madam Speaker, what could have happened with the $1 billion that they have borrowed, together with all the grant aids they received from Hurricane Thomas, together with all of the money they received for St. Jude, all of the grant aid they received, Madam Speaker, St. Jude's money, Madam Speaker, the Taiwanese money, Madam Speaker, and the borrowing, if you put all of that together, Madam Speaker, conditions on the ground should be different. Because they would have had so much money injected in the economy, it would have created a multiplier effect, and the economy would be thriving a lot better. Madam Speaker, let's think about it again. Taiwanese money, the borrowing of almost $1 billion, monies received for Hurricane Thomas, monies received for St. Jude. When I calculate this, it comes to almost $5 billion. And if you had come this morning, these young people over there would be working. There would be a circular flow of income in the economy. That's how the economy goes. There would be a circular flow of income. People would earn. Madam Speaker, my economic philosophy is to trust the consumer and don't trust the government. You need to put the money in the hands of the consumer instead of putting the hands of the government, because when it goes in the hands of the government, it is misappropriated. When it is in the hands of the consumer, it registers effective demand. And when you have effective demand, people must then respond by producing more things. As they produce more things, they have to expand and recapitalize and retool. And as they recapitalize and retool, they must employ people. That is how an economy operates. That is how. I can lecture you on that. Madam Speaker, if those monies were well spent in manufacturing, in industry, in technology, in energy, in healthcare, and in education, St. Lucia would have been in a lot better condition than where we are in today. We are in a solid state. That would have given us a fiscal boost, Madam Speaker. A fiscal boost. Madam Speaker, I'll talk about the copper factory just now. Don't you worry. What's up, Madam Speaker, I said a while ago, in the next 6 months, we're in the hurricane season. In the next 2 months, then we will be in the hurricane season. 6 months we have since we had the last hurricane. And Madam Speaker, I'm making an appeal to the Minister of Communication and who was praised by the member for the Reno for a while ago, and to the Prime Minister, to treat Sufre as a special priority area. Madam Speaker, you have failed the people of Sufre, the people of Frontejac, the people of Fokako, the people of Zeno, the people of Colombet, the people of Vanna, the people of Bexar. Madam Speaker, this government has failed these people. And these communities, Madam Speaker, are communities that through no fault of theirs became victims. Madam Speaker, I implore this government, I beg, to address the housing problem for those persons who are dislocated in the Frontejac area. Nothing has been done. There are people who live in Frontejac and they are now living in Monsignor, in Mongoose, in Union. There are people living in town and they're renting $700 a month. There are people, their houses are suspended on the edge of the reef, of the rock, of the precipice, and nobody is giving them any kind of assistance. Madam Speaker, there are lots of people who have spent a lot of money just before Junior Creole, because the hurricane struck St. Lucia just the day before Hurricane Junior Creole. People spent all their money. They bought everything on credit. And these little small shops in the Frontejac area, everything was washed away. Everything was washed away. That was their income. And these people have to go to a house. Living in conditions, creating discomfort for somebody else, renting some which it cannot get. Madam Speaker, the Honourable Member for January said, this is a good government, a caring government. By your works I will know you. I ask you to do so. Madam Speaker, what about the relocation? Madam Speaker,
you have 15 more minutes.
Okay. At the right time, more time will be asked for you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, there is a committee that was formed, and that committee specifically had to deal with looking at how you manage places that are prone, flood prone, and very hurricane sensitive. That committee is called the National Hazard Mitigation Council. Madam Speaker, you know that committee has never met? It has never met to tell the government where they should allow housing to take place, where agriculture can take place, the areas that are vulnerable and unsafe. Madam Speaker, this committee, I'm asking the Prime Minister to get this council going so that they can know exactly what to do, what to tell the people. I've been asking for the report, the geotechnical report. It has not been forthcoming. There is an ECLAC report which tells you about the conditions on the ground in sensitive areas. These reports have not been forthcoming. Madam Speaker, I want to implore the Prime Minister and beg him to make these documents available to us. Apatias Batsigwe, he belongs to the people. I went to a meeting in consultation with the Consultative Development Committee, and that's what they were asking me. He said, can I go there and build again? I don't know. Madam Speaker, I want to ask this government again to extend the period that was granted to persons who are receiving items from overseas to replace what they had at the home. Madam Speaker, on numerous occasions, I have had to write letters to the Cabinet Secretary, and sometimes they don't get it. A lady, she was living in the house, her stove, her fridge, her water, everything went away. She has her children in Miami. They are prepared to send the things on for her. But she has to pay $1,700. She's not working because whatever her farm was carried away. But the things are on the wharf. I want to implore, the Prime Minister is not there, whenever I'm speaking, he's running away. I want to implore him to begin to extend the Honorable Deputy, Honorable Member for Gozi Lake, to begin to think of those persons so that you can extend it. And you will need proof to ensure that these persons are really receiving those things for what they say. And therefore, the NEMO can ascertain whether or not they were really affected by the hurricane Thomas. I implore you. Madam Speaker, I now move to speak about my constituency. Madam Speaker, there is a senator who is coming down to Sufre, and he wants to bulldoze his way for Sufre. But Madam Speaker, that minister has a problem in telling the truth. And let me give you an example. Madam Speaker, the people at Lower Lesperance going into Diamond didn't have water. The pipe stopped about 2,000 feet away from the small community in one direction. The other one, the catchment area is in the community, but because of the topography, the water cannot, by gravity, go up to the home. I met a gentleman, and he was the director working with CEQA. And I spoke with him about assistance I can get from his organization. CEQA is funded by EU funds. He told me, come to his office and he will advise me as to how I can proceed.
I'd like to move the amendment of section 3210 for the time order to allow the honourable member from Sufre another 30 minutes.
Honourable members, the question is that standing order 3210 be suspended to allow honourable member for Sufre an additional 30 minutes to complete his presentation. I now put the question. As many as are of that opinion, say aye. As many as are of the contrary opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it. Member, you have an additional 30 minutes.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Madam Speaker, I was saying, no, you want political life support. I expect you to say that. Madam Speaker, so I went to the office, and he told me that I need to do certain things, among which is a plan. I did so. I went underground, house to house, collected all the data. and prepared the proposal and submitted it. He called me and he said, the project is going to be approved. However, the execution of the project cannot be done by you because you are a politician. And I always agree with that. That is why I keep complaining about the Taiwanese funds going to individual members. So I called the chairman of the Super Foundation and I told him, so he agreed. He said, I can have the project executed through the foundation. And I was very happy and I've thanked him before and I'm going to thank him in this honorable house. Although we disagree on a lot of things. So the project started and was completed. They spent $302,000, Madam Speaker, providing water for two small communities. And so there was an official opening, Madam Speaker. And you know how politics what in the air. A little tribal opening, Madam Speaker, in Diamond. The Prime Minister was there. The Minister of Communication and Works was there. The Minister of Tourism was there. Our whole entourage. The Prime Minister came with six securities. A little pipe, she opened. And then I said exactly what I said there. My friend over there, the Minister of Communication and Works, he stood up and he said, nobody should take credit for this project. If somebody has to take credit for the project, it has to be the residents of the area. So all the work I did meant nothing to him. And so, Madam Speaker, however, when the young lady who got the vote of thanks commended me. I didn't tell him to say it. Commended me for initiating and pioneering the project. And you know what happened, Madam Speaker? Madam Speaker? You don't know what happened? Last week in the news, I'm hearing the Minister of Tourism giving the minister who said at the function that it is the people who are supposed to take credit, the Minister of Tourism is giving the Minister of Communications and Work credit for taking the project on his behalf. They're taking steroids to lie. Madam Speaker, and there's a thing in Paris, a project, Madam Speaker. I'm honorable member for Godile. You know this project very well. You invited me. Thank you very much. And I want to thank you for that project in Paris. I don't normally do that, but I'll do it because this project was really, really, really needed. I want to thank you immensely. But who stood behind it? The minister passing and looking as though he has got nothing to be done. I'm the one who got it done. After I spoke so much, I called. There was a public meeting in Paris to discuss it. You mobilize the people. You tell them what is going to happen. You do all of that. You go to, when you go to a Facebook page, you see all kinds of projects done by the foundation and somebody claiming for it. Madam Speaker, I don't understand. Madam Speaker, Corbett to Soufre, that corridor is very, very important for the development of Soufre. In that little corridor right now, there are about 50 young people working. Yes, Madam Speaker, you don't see when you pass. You have the Beacon restaurant. You have Crystal Resort in the interior of Colobet. And there are two small properties right next to Crystal. You have Villa de Pito. You have Laho Plantation Estate. And then you have Mago. Seven small properties. And Madam Speaker, there is no water for them. They have to pay $700 to truck water. And I want the Prime Minister, and if he doesn't do it when he gets in office, it will be a priority for us to improve the catchment area catchiness, pump the water into a reserve tank, and allow gravity to take it down to those big. It is important because there are more business opportunities in that area, and that is where employment for Soufre is going to be created. So I want to say that, Madam Speaker, when as you drive from Soufre coming, once again in that same corridor, Madam Speaker, you have about four beautiful viewpoints. These viewpoints need to be improved by putting platforms and putting shelters and lockers. So that there are about, I counted about 17 people, persons, young persons, working at these viewpoints. And all you need to do is to improve the conditions for them so that they can earn a decent dollar under normal conditions. Madam President, the Supreme Patrol.
The Honorable Minister of Agriculture says to me all the time that I do not go to the factory. Surprising me. Madam Speaker, I want to report to him, he doesn't know that, that the Supreme Factory has collapsed. It has collapsed. The last time I went there was one security. Madam, that helped me. Because when the Labour Party came in office, the Labour Party injected capital to start the copper factory all over again. And we were producing oil, margarine, fixture, dishwashing liquid. In 4 years, they killed it. They killed the factory. 80% were employed. 80. Today, only 1% is employed. When I saw the factory was taking a downturn, I wrote to the minister. He wrote me a one-sentence letter in return, and thank you for replying. One-sentence letter, and they tell you not writing to them, you're not asking. And he took a whole entourage, and he came down there and he made promises upon promises. He made more promises at that meeting, at the factory, than the Prime Minister made in the 2008-2009 budget, and in this budget too. And since he left, and this is recorded, it's recorded, and this is not that his ministry. And today, the faction is closed. And every time I want to talk about the faction, you know, the chastise me. Madam Speaker, a Labour Party government is going to reopen that faction again. People have suffered at the faction. They're paying $1,000 a month, a day, a trip, $1,000 for a truck to transport the copper from the factory to Dexter. To Dexter, there's a guy with a plant there to crush the copper and then extract the oil and take the oil back to the factory. When the oil reaches the factory, the expeller for the refinery is not working. And that is what is happening. And you continue about agriculture. These are the realities, honorable member, my friend from Denver North. These are the realities. Madam Speaker, the West Coast Road fiasco. Honorable member for Communication and Works, what is going on there? How many years? 4 years, you know, Madam Speaker. The Sufra Cactus Road? Huh? You don't know? Martin Gulu? Madam Speaker, that road. You're not talking about crossover road, Madam Speaker. I thought that was me. Well, the Minister of Communication always talks about crossover run. And he said he prefers crossover run because when there were crossover runs, there were things happening. People were walking. Roads were being built. Now, you know what they have, the man told me? Nothing around. Cross nothing around because nothing is running. You see that road, Madam Speaker? An investigation needs to be conducted to find out how much money has been spent. And I see another $2 million in the estimate for that same road. Madam Speaker, the road is being done in a haphazard manner. Today you pass in Lakwa, you have equipment doing some work. When you reach in Roseau, there's a little bit being done. You pass in Antlery, a little bit is being done. And then when you reach Sufra going down the hill, a little, but up to now, the road is so hazardous. And the Honorable Senator from Sufra can tell you, that's because he does on it every day. He does it every day. They have overlaid one side of the road, and the other side is in terrible condition. Madam Speaker, I don't understand. Madam Speaker, if you have to come to Springwell in Sufra, make sure you buy Wellington boots. Because you cannot walk the streets of Sufra. Make sure anyone who's coming to Sufra, make sure you have boots. Don't wear tall shoes if you are a lady. And Father Laura keeps telling persons when they come to funeral, please do walk on the street. Do not walk on the sidewalk. You can't walk on the street because the potholes are so. Madam Speaker, all the streets in Sufra are in deplorable condition. And then you know that? The Prime Minister knows that? Because they were there recently, and they saw it. The Sufra Bridge. Madam Speaker, the Sufra Bridge. I wrote the Minister
He responded to me. Thank you for responding. He told me, that was last year, Madam Speaker. He said that the bills will be taken care of in the next couple of months. And look at, because, Madam Speaker, the town council had to put plywood. Had to put plywood on the area, on the path of the bridge that I collapsed. Plywood. And a poor child, because the child cannot pass, put on the footbridge, which will take them to the school via the Riverside Road. They had to pass on the bridge, on the child ferry. Massive abrasion on the child ferry, because on television, because on TV. When heavy equipment drives past on that bridge, trembling and shaking. And the other day, the Honorable, after I wrote him, Madam Speaker, he came down with the Honorable Minister for Tourism, and they have kept measuring, as there is the Minister of Tourism who is going to do the work. This is the kind of dirty politics that they play. Madam Speaker, the footbridge for the school. Children are falling over in the water as they try to get to school, Madam Speaker, because the bridge collapsed on the hurricane tarmac, Madam Speaker. The Crestland Bridge, what is going to happen to it? Relocation of the residents at Fort Isaac, what are you going to do about it? We need a vendor's market in Sufe. We just need the vendor's market in Sufe. Madam Speaker, can we imagine that the Southwest Prince Road is blocked? The premier attraction in St. Lucia to get to the Sulphur Springs, the main access road, is blocked. It's blocked. And landslide since summer. Premier destination. People live all over the world and they come there to St. Lucia to visit the Sulphur Springs. Now they have to pass through a bypass road, which is very precious because the slope of the hills is so steep that sometimes I get scared. Madam Speaker, I saw recently there are some heavy equipment in the river. I am telling you, I saw heavy equipment in the river. I'm speaking the truth. That hasn't happened before. That happened last week at Patches. So I want to thank you for that. I'm praising you, Coraline. I'm just about telling him thank you for doing something. That's what I was doing. You're taking steroids as a threat. Madam Speaker, I want to thank him for that, Madam Speaker. Because your brother doesn't come to work every day. Madam Speaker, what is happening in the river is something that should have been done a long time ago. It is going to cost a lot of money, Madam Speaker. We know that. I know that. The problem will be, when you distill the river, where are we going to dump the fuel? Am I not correct, Honorable Member? It is going to cost a lot of money. But what we are seeing, South Channel and Alizia could do a party. You know? So that the people at Chukako can sleep at night. Because anytime it rains, the water would be diverted and go straight in front of the house that they have just cleaned. I was in process as I was a bridge. I had a good man to unblock the bridge, Madam Speaker. You see, Madam Speaker, when I do my things, I don't bring camera and wait on the trial. There are some people that believe when they go on TV, people so stupid they're going to vote for them. I did my spending with good man, Madam Speaker. Because the water was coming down in the main road and children from Mini could not go to school. And I'm doing another good man on Saturday. I'm going to invite you to that good man to help restore a portion of the road going to Minina and after that. That's what I do, Madam. When I see nothing is happening, I don't say I'm doing nothing. I try my best. I try my best, Madam Speaker. So I'm happy he has put some heavy equipment in the river, creating a little channel, but that is not going to solve the problem. I saw two. Madam Speaker, the Lesperus. Madam Speaker, Lesperus Diamond Road. He's laughing, Madam Speaker, because we have a deal. Yes, we have a deal. We have a deal. Madam Speaker, I so desperately want that road to be done. I made a deal. You will tell me about the deal. I'll not stay there. But Madam Speaker, I will not honor that deal again. Because the road should have been done in 1 year. It's now 4 years. And even the diamond inside the people, look at 15 million by God. You know, as though it's saying to Alan Shatton that you'll do it for them.
I'm not gonna party politics. I'm working my gut into for some time. I'm the one writing you letters. I'm the one who meets you. I'm the one calling you. I'm the one making noise in the house. I'm the one crying everywhere for the people of Sufre. I'm the one doing it. The door you open the water? The senator, you have lapse in memory. You're suffering from amnesia. Madam Speaker, the minute you run to Rainforest Road, that road needs attention. And the people are coming to me and they're asking about man. This bank of the truck, if Madam Speaker, a lot of tip is almost $300 and the truck is almost $300. Where are you getting the money to do it? I mean, Madam Speaker, I don't have Taiwanese money, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, don't worry them now. Is Madam Speaker, you are laughing. Check your tooth. Check your tooth carefully. Because you know what's coming. For the bank. Madam Speaker, the new development rule. So, Madam Speaker, we need to rationalize all housing developments in the country. So many developers come to the government and they make a proposal to start a housing development project. Housing. The first thing they say to the government, I will put the infrastructure, and when the time comes, they ask government, please allow me to sell 3 or 4 lots so I can raise the money to put the infrastructure. What happens is that they end up selling all the lots and no infrastructure. And there are many of them around the country. Many of them. Myers Bridge is one example, Madam Speaker, where the people bought the land and they cannot drive to go to their home. I have a friend that was a baby. He has to park his vehicle by the main road. By the main road. That's what I'm going to win. By the road, and then you have to walk up the hill. So we need to regularize and rationalize those developments. In Sufre, new development, it has to be done. Because the road that is there is deplorable. They do not get service of the sanitary workers because the place has not been vested in local government. So they do not get people going up there to work. We need to do it, Madam Speaker. And there's a road that goes through the development up to the West Coast Road. That road is in a terrible condition and we need to look after it. I'm looking at you for the last time because I know the next time I want the road, I will not come to you because you will not be there. Madam Speaker, the mini stadium is too fresh. The mini stadium is too fresh. Minister, we need to go to phase 2 and phase 3. I heard somebody say they're going to put lights. We can't put lights in that stadium yet. Can't put lights yet. Remember to tell you why? You cannot put lights on the facility if the plane level, the plane surface is off. It's not good. It's not good. They are using it because they have no choice. But you need phase 2 of the project. This is the Labour Party built it. And we would have continued to put the overlay. No. You need to carry topsoil, grass it, put the sand, and then build the court. The ancillary court. And then you can put the light. Because to put the lights right now, it would be a bit premature. So we need to do it. There's another field at Belfort. We need to improve that field because Belfort people are very, very, very much into cricket. And we need to give them the facility. The front of that playing field needs to be upgraded. During the hurricane, it was used as a base for the tent. It was called Tent City. Now, as the tents have been removed, it was graded somewhat. It needs to be improved and improved significantly. Rural electrification, Madam Speaker, the road from town to the surface space through the ring road needs light. We have light coming from Kachima into town, but when you reach town, going up into Stonefield and Montebarel and going into Amladero, the lights are not there. We really need those lights because you have hotels and you have visitors who would like to come to town and like to walk back on early evening and the place is in total darkness. We really need to look at that. Yeah. But how can we take information from Chatley when Chatley has no local standard in progress?
So why is he telling you? Madam Speaker, I'll meet you one-to-one and we'll discuss that. You call us open here. Madam Speaker, production of students at the school of the social comprehensive secondary school. Minister of Education, that one is it. We need an auditorium at the super comprehensive secondary school. Did you hear me? We need an auditorium, Madam Speaker, soon. We also need, we do not have to wait for a child to get killed, to be killed along the road from the school to town. So we need to put sidewalks secured with barriers so that the children can walk on the sidewalks and not for them to continue to do as is happening right now, where immediately after school, you have 400 children on the road and you have some mad drivers pelting the road ready to kill everybody. We need to do that as a matter of priority. Madam Speaker and Ms. Minister of Communications, you need to help me, or the Prime Minister, through the Community Development Fund, you need to help me build a bus shelter at the Ruby New Development Gap for children who are going to school on mornings and it rains and they have nowhere to shelter. We also need one at the Monbonin area so that people, children from Baden and that general area, and not only children but residents, can get a place to shelter. Just by the steel. Just by the steel. And so, Madam Speaker, as I wind down and come to a close, Madam Speaker, allow me to extend my sympathy to two families. Family of Clive Alexis. Clive Alexis was a stalwart in Tufa during his days, pioneer. So he was such a community leader that he was awarded an MD, an ex-serviceman, pharmacist, just near me. Settled all kinds of disputes. He passed away and he had been buried, so I want to extend sympathy to the family. I also want to extend sympathy to a young man whose love and passion was for the youth of Tufa. His commitment to sports cannot be measured, Madam Speaker. There's a young man called Michael Yatakazoba. He is the deputy chairperson of the UWT constituency group. A very good friend of mine. But it's not because of politics, Madam Speaker, I will not give due to what he deserves. I believe that his passing is a great loss for the community. We'll miss him, I will miss him, and the young people will miss him. I want to tell the family, in this time of the passing of a dear one, to be strong, and that there is nothing we can do about it, because when the good Lord says he's going to act, we are in no position to say no. Madam Speaker, as I conclude, I want to ask a few questions. I want to ask, Madam Speaker, are we satisfied with the status quo in St. Lucia? The member for Denry said yes. And I'm hearing a resounding no from the rest of the country. Madam Speaker, I want to ask the question, would our life be so difficult and so hard and so challenging if we had not made the mistake or in 2006? I want to ask that question. Madam Speaker, I implore all St. Lucians to say no to a government that no longer exists, as evidenced by the budget that they presented. This government doesn't exist anymore. It said, the government is bereft of ideas, it's clueless, no direction, and I see the leader, and leaderless. Madam Speaker, I want to ask people to compare the records of the two governments. As a government, we did our best. People voted the government out for Rochelle. You still sticking on Rochelle? You are the Prime Minister for Rochelle. We are not going to pretend that we are perfect. This government, our government then, we were not right all the time. And the political leader is magnanimous to say it all the time. We were not right all the time. There are certain things, if we had to do, we would do it differently. But in the main, this government gave the economic growth of 5.6%, reduced unemployment, modernized the infrastructure of this country, built 5 new fire stations, 7 new schools, gave the foundation for a new hospital. So we did our best. We did our best. We implemented policies we believe, like PROUD, the Social Safety Network Program, Bell Fund, STEP. We initiated those assistance and support. We brought these programs to help people. We didn't do it for all, but we touched the lives of everybody. More teachers build houses, more nurses build houses. There was a booming in the construction industry, but more hotels, more investors. And as I said, maybe we are not right about everything. In the area of the youth, maybe we can take some props for that. Maybe. But I see nothing in this budget for the young people. Nothing in there for the young people. We had it already. We used to call it a yacht. In the agricultural sector too. If you're not paying attention. Madam Speaker, I believe, you see, Madam Speaker, you see this, the Constitution that you hold? I believe in the Constitution, Madam Speaker. And I believe every single member of Parliament, because we are lawmakers. If we are lawmakers, we cannot break the same law that we enact. We have to lead by example. A model. Talk about it. It was before that foundation I created. A lot of things were happening to first. Madam Speaker, we need to restore our national pride. We need to do so because we want to encourage foreign investors to come and invest with confidence in the country so that the young people can get jobs. This budget should be about jobs. It should be about jobs, 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 jobs. Nothing articulated in the way provide jobs for the country. Jobs for young people. Nothing around in this country. Nothing going. That's what it should be about. And I said to the young people, if you cannot stand for something, you will fall for nothing. Young people, stand for something. Because this government has proven, has no record of doing anything good for this country. They're fighting among ourselves. Among themselves. And the worst part of it is the opulence in which they live, Madam Speaker. The big chunk of money that they have. The big condos and the big cars. Madam Speaker, finally. The people of Sofra, they know the Labour Party and its achievements. They know what the Labour Party did in Sofra. You're going to juxtapose what the Labour Party did as opposed to what the Flavo did. People of Sofra, you know that I've been begging. And some of Flavo's are saying to me, last begging. When I came the first time in this honorable house, I said, if I have to go down on my knees for the people of Sofra, I would do it. That is why we made the deal. And I will continue to do it. Madam Speaker, there was economic growth, there was employment in Sofra. On the Friday afternoon, Madam Speaker, the big street around the bank was overcrowded with people with paychecks. The bank was not giving them. In some cases, the bank had to extend beyond 5 o'clock to cater for it. Today, the banks are empty, the shops are empty, supermarkets are empty. What they are banking, e-bank, they don't go on the line. That's where you have all the money in the e-bank. Madam Speaker, we reduce unemployment. We modernize the economy. We tackle social issues, Madam Speaker. We restore international integrity, Madam Speaker. On the other hand, this administration has got economic contraction. The crime issue, Madam Speaker, I don't speak about, I will not say about anything about it because I don't do political crime. Corruption. And then you have extortion by ministers, toxic mentality, toxic. An investor comes, you have to give it to another.
Do you know the boss man said that? Cut it. And investors have no confidence in it. Some investors cannot deal with that. That is not the culture of the business to give ministers money. Madam Speaker, and finally, Madam Speaker, the infighting in the government is going to continue. There's a little respite at this point in time because the election is coming. As soon as the elections are over, if they ever miraculously come into office, please go make a phone call. Madam Speaker, I will be back in this honorable house. I will be back in this honorable house. And so for those who are departing, I say farewell. Farewell to all of you. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Well, my name is Senator Mampala Mapu, Honorable Harold Garrison.